Of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. Going to be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available, as always, at MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, comment, tell your friends about it. I'd appreciate that, guys. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARaise.net. So, got a bunch of news to talk about today, a couple of fight announcements, and did want to mention that myself and Cole Sheldon will be back at 11 a.m., so in about an hour from now, breaking down UFC Vancouver. So I'm looking forward to breaking down that card with Cole, but there's some stuff I want to talk about here before that podcast as far as news goes. So let's start with kind of the main topic that was going around the MMA world yesterday. Colby Covington, back in the news. He's always in the news. Him and Jorge Masvidal have been good friends for years, and we all thought they were like best friends or whatever, and all of a sudden, they're talking smack to each other, and it looks like Colby kind of started the thing. They were both on Ariel's show. They both gave their sides of the story, but there's definitely beef here between these two guys. And you knew it was going to happen at some point. I mean, they're both two of the best welterweights in the world, and they're probably going to meet in the cage at some point. So I feel like this was just inevitable, but it's kind of gotten ugly, like really quickly too. So, you know, they're going into their personal details with each other, and it's a little unfortunate, you know, to see two friends kind of turn each other like this. But at the same time, this is the fight game, and I don't think this is the first time this has happened, but yeah, it looks like these guys are on a collision course to meet at some point. I don't know when that's going to happen, maybe next year, but I think we'll see Colby Covington fight Jorge Masvidal. Well, my question is, how does this affect the American top team environment? Like, these guys are two obviously of the best fighters competing there, and that's a huge gym. I mean, there's tons of big name fighters there, and we've seen other fighters like Robbie Lawler leave that camp in recent years just because there's so many guys there, and when there's so much talent in one spot, guys are going to eventually fight each other for the most part. So I feel like this is inevitable. At the same time, though, it's got to be an awkward environment for the other fighters in that gym. Again, it is a fight game, so these guys have to have thick skins, but you know, some of the things they've been saying to each other are pretty nasty. You know, Masvidal said that Covington, he cries when he reads comments online, which I thought was hilarious. And then Covington was saying that he gets more, you know, women than Masvidal or whatever. So it's kind of boiled down to that now. I just feel like, again, it's going to lead to these guys fighting at some point, which should be a great fight. I think that's a great matchup. But it is kind of sad that, you know, two guys that were considered to be really good friends are now enemies. And like I said, it seems really awkward considering they're both in the same camp. And that brings up my next point here. Dustin Poirier, he's another fighter in American top team, and he looks like he's part of stuck in the crossfire. He's kind of been tried on by Covington here, and now Poirier's fighting back. He said something on Instagram yesterday saying that if he sees Covington at the gym, he's going to it's on site. That's what he said to him. So Poirier's not happy. Masvidal's not happy. We all know Covington is a big favorite of Dan Lambert, who owns American Top Team. So I don't know if Covington's going to be the one who leaves, but it's hard to see Masvidal, Poirier, and the other guys all leaving that camp. It feels like Covington has an issue with a lot of these guys there. I'm a big fan of Covington. I like Masvidal. I love Poirier, too. I mean, these guys are all great, man. And that camp is – I think it's the best camp in the sport, really. Maybe American Kickbox Academy is up there, too. But American Top Team is an incredible camp with so many good fighters. I just feel like this could be the unraveling of that camp, just seeing all these top-level guys beef. So we'll see what happens here. It probably just does lead to an eventual matchup and a grudge fight, and then they apologize to each other afterwards. That's happened so many times in the sport, but it is interesting that there's this much beef going on. Speaking about the top lightweights in the world, Tony Ferguson was also on Ariel's show yesterday, and he talked about Khabib Nurmagomedov. He thinks he's boring. He thought it was a boring performance against Dustin Poirier. He did give both guys props for putting on a good fight, which they did, but he criticized Khabib as being a blanket and just kind of lying on Poirier, and he believes that he has what it takes to beat Khabib if they do end up fighting, which personally, I think that Tony does have a good chance. I've said this the last, I think, four times the fight's been booked. I think Tony's got a great chance. And again, I love Khabib, man, and I think the guy's incredible, and I think it's dumb to bet against him, but I just feel like Tony actually matches up really well with his wrestling, with his dynamic submission game, with his striking attack. I feel like Ferguson matches up really well. Both guys on 12-fight win streaks right now. It's just kind of crazy to me. Right now, I'm looking at the odds. BetOnline has Khabib -235, Ferguson +200. You know, that's a lot, I think, closer than the opening odds, which was -300 +250. That was way too wide, but at this point, yeah, I still feel like, you know, maybe there's some value in Ferguson as a dog. I got to think about the fight more. There's no announcement. It's not official yet, but I do think Ferguson's got something going here. I think that he is right in that he could be the kryptonite to Nurmagomedov, but we'll see what happens. I just remember that fight with Danny Castillo a few years ago where Ferguson was on his back a lot of the fight. That worries me. But at the same time, he hasn't been on his back since then. And I feel like that fight, he just wanted to kind of show off his 10th plan jiu-jitsu in that fight. So, and his rubber guard and stuff. So we'll see what happens if they do end up fighting. I think it's going to be an amazing fight. But hopefully just book it, because I think this is the fight everyone wants to see. Speaking about UFC 242, Edson Barboza will be appealing his split decision loss to Paul Felder. He and his manager, Alex Davis, have been in contact with the UFC, Mark Ratner, and saying that they want to appeal the fight. The UFC acted as its own commission for that event. We'll see what happens. I mean, appeals don't really work out too well in MMA for the most part. But I feel like there is something here. Because 30-27 Paul Felder just didn't make sense at all, you know. And it's funny, right? This reminded me of the Fedor and Fabio Maldonado fight. And actually, the same judge, let me pull her name out. It's Maria something. I don't know what's her name here. It was, let's check here. Maria Makhmutova. She actually had that fight for Fedor and Maldonado as a draw, which was a good score. And I talked about this yesterday in the podcast, but she had this scorecard 30-27 for Paul Felder, which doesn't make sense. How do you give Paul Felder the first round? There's just no way you can. So there is something weird that happened in this judging. Sometimes when this happens, and this happened in the past, by the way, where the judges actually don't know who the fighters are. I don't think that was the case here. I just think it was bad judging. But we have seen in the past, there are fights where the judges literally don't know who the fighters are. There was a fight, I think it was like Seth Baczynski versus Mike Pierce. I'm going to pull that out here. Let me pull this one out. It was like back at in Florida a couple years ago. Was that the fight? No, was it or Lance Benoist? There was a weird scorecard here. 2012. Pulling this out right now. One sec. Mike Pierce. Oh, it was, yeah. I think it was the Mike Pierce Carlo Eduardo Rocha fight. We had a really funny scorecard there, like. I think one judge had it 30-27 for Rocha, and then they changed the score afterwards. I think that was the fight. It was really strange. But, yeah, I don't think that was the case here. Like I said, I just think it was bad judging. It was 29-28 either way. You either go 29-28 for Felder, you give him that second round because the elbows that cut open to Barboza, or you get Barboza the second round because of the top control. But 30-27 didn't make sense. Do I think the appeal is going to work? No, because I don't feel like appeals work very often in MMA, especially for a decision. Like, if it was something controversial like a headbutt, they cut open the fighter, or some sort of foul that led to the loss. Yeah, like, I can see that appeal working, but for bad judging, it's kind of hard for that to work. It's just sad that the UFC actually picked the judges for this fight and ended up blowing the decision. Well, not necessarily blowing it, but blowing the scorecard, because there's no way it was 30-27 Paul Felder. I don't care if you're the biggest Paul Felder fan in the world. I don't care if you're Paul Felder's family. There's no way you thought that he won the fight 30-27. It was either 29-28 for either guy. Chris Cyborg's back in the news. She went off against Dana White again. She's in Bellator now. Obviously, she called Dana White a liar for the way the contract negotiations went. I mean, it's kind of an ugly end to the Cyborg saga. You know, Dana White really, I just feel like, didn't respect Cyborg at all the whole time. You know, the comments about her being Wanderlei Silva's address before she came into UFC, then in the UFC forcing her to fight at 140 for the fights with Smith and Landsberg, even though we saw those videos of her basically literally dying, almost making weight. I just feel like there was never that respect shown between the two. And even in the last fight with Spencer, where she wins the fight, I think she won 30-27. She won 30-27 in all three scorecards. And Dana White kept praising Spencer being tough and didn't say anything good about Cyborg. So just a nasty end to this, but I'm glad she's in Bellator. I think it's a good spot for her. And the fight with Julia Budd's going to be great. She also mentioned that she thinks that fight's going to happen early next year. So we'll see what happens as far as the fight date goes. But there's no way that Bellator can do any other fight besides Cyborg versus Budd. That's the fight everyone wants to see. It's the only fight that makes sense. You don't have to give Cyborg a layup fight. She deserves a title shot right away. And that fight with Budd's going to be awesome between two forward strike force fighters. Speaking about Bellator, I have the article over at bjpenn.com. You can check it out. But Bellator is eyeing a co-promotion with Ryzen in the end of December, which we all, I think, figured that would happen. And there were rumors in the past weeks that Fedor would be in that card against either Rampage or Josh Barnett. Now looks like the Rampage fight's what the one Bellator wants. So Fedor Emelianenko versus Rampage is being considered here. Josh Gross from The Athletic actually had a tweet about this saying that Bellator wants to bill this as Fedor's final fight. And they also want a co-main event between Ryan Bader and Yuri Prozaska, who is the Ryzen champion, which would be an amazing fight. That guy is on, I think, an 8-fight win streak with like all his wins by knockouts. So amazing fight. He's coming off a knockout win over King Mo, who avenged an earlier loss from an earlier Ryzen year-end card. So that would be an amazing fight. I actually like that fight even better than Fedor versus Rampage, but obviously Fedor and Rampage are two big names in the sport, two veterans, two legends of the MMA. So I actually think that would be a fun card, Fedor versus Rampage, Fedor versus Prozaska, and then you could also do Horiguchi versus they want to do Archuleta. I don't think that's going to happen, but you can do Horiguchi or someone in Ryzen, I guess, or even Bellator. Don't know what title would be on the line there. But yeah, so much cross-promotion here between these two, Bellator and Ryzen. I really love it. It's a shame that the UFC isn't able to do cross-promotion because Dana White's stubborn, but I'm glad Scott Coker's open to it. And again, Fedor versus Rampage and Ryan Bader versus Yuri Prozaska, that would be a really, really good card. And I definitely would stay up in the middle of the night to watch that one. It'd be a fun one. A couple of fight announcements here, and then I'll get out of here, guys. UFC Singapore gets two new fights. One is Ashley Yoder against Yan Xinyan. Ashley Yoder, put her out here. She is coming off a win, so good for her. She saved her job, basically. She's coming off two wins over Siri Kondo and Amanda Cooper. Before that, lost three straight fights. So she's looked okay in the UFC, 2-3 record, saved her job, like I said. And then she takes on Yan Xinyan, who is 11-1-1 in her MMA career. And she's actually 4-0 in the UFC with wins over Angela Hill, Siri Kondo, Vivian Pereira, Caitlin Curran. So interesting matchup here. But I think you got to lean towards Yan Xinyan. And who knows? I mean, she's also a Chinese fighter. I don't think she's as good as Willy Zhang is. And of course, she's in a different weight division. Actually, no, she's actually 115 as well. My bad. They're both 115, I think, for this fight. I believe, unless they're 125. Let me check here. Yeah, 115. Okay, so yeah, Yoder's fighting at 115 now. Yeah, I think it'd be an okay fight, but yeah, I think you got to lean towards the end in that fight. And also on that same card, Alexander Albu takes on Loma Luke Boone Me. She's making her UFC debut. Alexander Albu. Albu, pull her out here. Albu, of course, the Russian fitness guru, 3-1 record, 2-1 in the UFC, coming off a loss to Emily Whitmire. Before that, beaten Caitlin Curran and Isabella Baderick, a very popular fighter, but coming off her first career loss and takes on, like I said, Loma Lukwambi. Let's check her out here. Don't know a ton about her. 23 years old. She's 3-1 in her career as well, actually coming off a win in Invicta FC. A couple of months ago, yeah, back in June. So good for her. She's fought Invicta twice now. Also fought in Pancrase. Don't know a lot about her, but Tiger Muay Thai trained fighter. Could be an interesting fight. That Singapore card, by the way, of course, is headlined by Ben Askren and Damian Maia. Co-main event, I think it's Michael Johnson's TV, right? I'm not 100% sure, but either way, that card looks okay. Actually, no, sorry. It's Greg Hardy versus Georges Daniel. That's the co-main event. So decent looking card so far. Still think that's a weird fight, but yeah, that main event I think should be a good matchup. I like that grappling affair. So I think that's all I want to talk about. There is one other thing I want to mention. I just want to tease it quickly. John Jones is on Instagram, Twitter, I should say, saying that he's got a big fight now that's coming up. And Jan Błachowicz is also saying he's got something in the works. So it looks like that fight could happen, but no official announcement yet. Maybe that'll happen today or tomorrow. We'll see. I might talk about that tomorrow if it's announced today. But for now, I think that's all I want to talk about, guys. Follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available. MMAOddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Also check me out at BJPenn.com, MMArings.net. I'll be back in 45 minutes with Cole Sheldon breaking down UFC Vancouver. I'm looking forward to that. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in to today's podcast. I'll be back in an hour, and then I'll be back tomorrow breaking down the latest MMA. Have a good one, guys.